On this episode, I'm excited to be joined by a true footballing legend, a Premier League winner, and the Netherlands' all-time top goal scorer, Robin van Persie.
Robin, thanks for joining us, mate. Great to have you. With all our guests, we go back to the start. What was it like for a young Robin van Persie in Rotterdam growing up?
It was good fun. It was a different time, you know. Less cars around. It was more free. We didn't have all these tools the kids have nowadays: iPads, PlayStation, all that stuff. It was very basic. But if I look back at my childhood, you know, I always do it with a big smile. I was free. Yeah. Both of my parents were artists.
Yeah.
So they have a different mindset than most other parents. In terms of just being who you want to be.
Was you actively encouraged? Because my perspective of you as a player, you played like an artist. Do you think maybe the influence come from them a little bit?
Yourself? In terms of expressing myself, but not really. I'm not handy with my hands, so I don't have that bit. But mentally as well, I've been raised very free. If I wanted to go and have a sleepover with my mates or have fun, or it was all fine, you know. And I noticed as well with other friends of mine, some of them were very strict, and you had to ask like 3 weeks in advance. Yeah. And with me, it was always like the door was always open; they could come, and I could go whenever I wanted. And of course, that shapes you. For the rest of your life, really. And in a way, as a player, you know, if I make the jump from the early ages towards my career, I always wanted that bit of extra freedom as well.
I sort of, like with
Louis van Gaal, for example, he's a very strict manager. But in a way, I talked with him and I said, you know, with corners, because he had like, with set piece, for example, he has a job for everyone. Right. I said, give me the only job of freedom, you know, let me decide where I want to go.
How old was you when you was having this conversation?
I was older. When I worked with him, I was like 28, 29. Yeah. And I was like, you know, of course, I have to do it well. I have to score. I have to make the difference. But give me that bit of freedom that I can decide where to stand, that I can feel where the space is, that I can go into that space. And with every manager, I always had these kind of conversations.
Yeah, but we'll get into your coaching later, but that's interesting, because now as a coach do you allow your players freedom, or are you more structured? What are you style as a coach? If you had a young Robin van Persie now, you coaching?
I actually have one now in my team. It's our number 10. He's a year younger than the other guys, and I made him captain. I gave him the free role as well.
With corners and set pieces,
or he takes it.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't take it, he can decide where he wants to stay, because I think you have to earn that.
Yeah.
But once you've proven that you can deal with it, I think you should give it to the free-minded players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what I try to do. This is based on how I felt it. You know, it just gives you that feeling I'm not different than my teammates.
Yeah.
But I earn it.
Yeah.
And once you earn it, you can, if someone is ready for it, then as a coach, you can give it to that player.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you started off with Excelsior from a very young age, and you was a winger. You know.
I played everywhere.
Off the sides, in behind. And then you went to Feyenoord at 16. What was that?
I played at my first childhood team, Excelsior, which was in the area where I grew up, in East Rotterdam. From the age of five, was a year younger than allowed.
From the age of five? Days.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I played there until my 13th.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Feyenoord. It's like the bigger brother. And then, you know, I had like a fantastic, even the early days, like at Excelsior, it was like a very small club.
Mm.
It's like the third club in Rotterdam. Yeah. You have Excelsior, Sparta, and then Feyenoord.
Yeah.
But it was such a nice and free time. Yeah. The door was always open there. Even on my days off, I went there to play table tennis. I went there to help the other coaches with their younger teams when I was a little bit older. So when I was 9 years old at Excelsior, I was helping the coach of the under sixes.
You was already coaching
them? Yeah, I was already helping them out. And it was such a good and free time. You know? And I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so you go to Feyenoord, like every player I've spoke to who played for Feyenoord loves the club, loves that real affinity with it. Do you feel that? I mean, I played against them once.
When was
it? Incredible. It was a friendly game many, many years ago for Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, friendly games, you're like, you just want to get there and don't get injured. It was like, crazy. And I remember thinking to myself, what, that's a proper football club, that.
Yeah, Feyenoord, it's, you know, I grew up with Feyenoord. You have all different type of players. Some arrived early, some a bit later. But it's that when I wasn't playing at Feyenoord, when I was still at Excelsior, I went to watch one game. That was Feyenoord against Juventus in the Champions League. And by that time, I was about 9, 10. Yeah. I went with a mate. He had an extra ticket. And Feyenoord beat Juventus 2-0. And from that day, it's just, you are a Feyenoord supporter from that day. It's just when you experience a game like that, with that atmosphere, a win against a much better team, from that day, it was like, okay, I'm now a Feyenoord fan. And then 2-3 years later, I had a choice to make, because all my mates were playing at Sparta.
Yeah.
In Rotterdam, and I thought it was time to move on, to go to a better club. And then I sort of decided to go to Sparta because my mates were there.
Right.
But Feyenoord and Excelsior were working together as well.
Yeah.
They had a sort of a partnership together. So the CEO of Excelsior, he said, listen, he said, okay, I know you want to go to Sparta, but I think it's better for you if you go to Feyenoord. It's the next step, it's a bigger club. And then I said, okay, I have a chat with the Feyenoord coaches and I will join you. And then he said, you know, if you go to Feyenoord, here you have a video recorder and you have a tracksuit of Excelsior and you have a match ball of Excelsior. And then I said, oh, that's good. Let's go to Feyenoord then. And then half an hour later, after the meeting, I said, okay, I made my mind up. Let's go to Feyenoord. So it was in a very very funny way how I ended up at Feyenoord, because in that morning, in the previous weeks, I had my mind set on Sparta.
Yeah.
But in a half an hour and a tracksuit further and a ball, I went to Feyenoord.
That's the cheapest ever signing, Robin van Persie. It didn't take you long. 2002, you made your debut as a teenager. What was that day like? What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot, but for my generation, for my team, and you know, as most players think that they're the best of their team, I'm sure you had that same feeling in the youth. I was the last one for my team who had this chance.
Really?
In 2002. And I was doing well in that year before. I was scoring most of the goals. I was top scorer of that league. We won the league in the under-18s. And every single colleague of mine, all my mates, were getting to train with the first team. They could make their debuts. I was like, hang on, what about me? I'm the best player in my mind.
I'm scoring goals.
That was tough. So I started to speak to Sparta again.
Yeah.
Because Willem van Hanegem, I'm sure you know him.
Yeah.
Dutch legend. He was the coach there. And my agent back then knew him. So he called him up. He said, do you want Robin? He said, of course, let him come. So it was like a bit of a, like, am I going to Sparta halfway the season or am I staying? And then I said, okay, I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to play. I want to be a pro. It's time now.
Yeah.
Everyone got his chance except me.
Yeah.
And then finally I said, no. You know, if you're a little bit more patient, you will get your chance. And then a month later it happened. Yeah. And when I got my chance, I was like, in my mind as well, okay. And to be fair, I was a bit lucky because I only got my chance because one was suspended, one was out of form, the other one injured. So three players in front of me, I couldn't play. So I was training only twice with the first team, and then the coach told me that I will start against Vitesse away. And that's the moment I realized, like the day before I knew, I was like, okay, this is my proper chance, because the other guys, my friends from the under 18s and the reserves, they didn't really got the proper chance.
Yeah.
They were in and out, and they could play 10 minutes and this and that. And so I had my 10 minutes already done a few weeks before, and then I got my first 11 chance. I was like, I was so determined, like, okay, this is the moment, I have to take it. And I did. I played 65 minutes, and I played a really good game against Vitesse, against a good team. And from that moment on, I stayed in the first team.
Yeah.
Played the whole second half of that season where we won the UEFA.
What a campaign. What a season. Would you say it's one of the biggest seasons in finals history to beat Borussia Dortmund in a UEFA Cup final?
Yeah,
incredible.
And before that, we beat Rangers, we beat Inter Milan, we beat PSV and Dortmund in the final. And if you compare all those teams, we were all always, the other teams were better than us, basically. Yeah. But we were a proper team. We were very good. We had mature and older players in that team. And me, I was one of the younger guys, and I had a good campaign. So it's like within a couple of months, my whole life changed in all ways. And I was really, really happy about that first couple of months, won the UEFA Cup. And then suddenly, I started to feel like, okay, you know, this is good fun, and I will crack on and do even better. And then they bought a player, Anthony Lerling, on my position, and then they put me on the bench. I was like, nah, man, this can't be happening. And so I had a tough couple of months. In the end, worked myself back in the team. And my first 2.5 years at Feyenoord was very much up and down. A couple of highs.
Which happens for young players.
Yeah, but with me, it was extreme. It was all really, really good or was really bad.
Right.
And then I only ended up having 1 year left on my contract. And then I had to make a decision, like, okay, where do I want to go? And what do I want? And I actually almost went to PSV because in my last period of my first 2.5 years, I wasn't really playing as much. Fell out as well a little bit with all the guys of the team. Learned a lot from that, by the way. From how to deal with that. If like the big guys of the team are not on par with you, are not really. So I learned a lot how to deal with that and how to in the future how to really work together as a team. You know, and so I thought it was good to move on. I was really close to signing for PSV, and then there was some sort of contact with Arsenal. But it wasn't really, really serious at that time. And then I played my games in the under-21s. I had a game against Ajax just around the corner. At the Toekomst, and I had a good game. We lost 3-1, but finally, Ajax games are always very intense. Scored a goal, stayed calm, and it was really tough, especially towards me. And then after that game, it all went bad, you know. Fans came on the pitch and there was a bit of a hustle here and there. But Steve Rowley was there, and he was convinced, you know. He said we should take him. So in the meantime, my dad, who went to watch the game, heard about what happened after the game, the fans storming on the pitch. So he went to grab a beer at the hotel close by.
Good decision. Get away from the craziness, grab a beer.
Yeah, just to take it easy and just to calm down a little bit. And in that same hotel, Steve Rowley stayed.
Wow.
So it's like, and then Steve, they just literally saw each other at the bar, at the restaurant. And they were talking about what happened after the game, and such a shame, and oof, you know. And then my dad said, listen, if you want to do something with Robin, if you want to buy him, this is the moment. You only have a day or two, because otherwise he will go to PSV. And then Steve said, I am convinced.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of him, the way he played, the way he behaved. He's mentally strong. I think we should give him a chance at Arsenal. And then 2 days later, I'm in the plane to Arsenal. And then half an hour later, after meeting Arsène, after meeting Mr. Dean, the deal was done.
Yeah.
So if you look back, it's like sometimes you need the right people at the right time. And you need, especially at a young age, people believing you.
Yeah. Synchronicity, you know, he said it's a chance meeting, but and sometimes you can have all of the best scouting networks at a club, but if one man like Steve Rowley, who's a fantastic man at Arsenal, brought a lot of great players to the club, if he believes in you and he goes to Arsenal and Arsenal watches you and he believes you, you're there.
Because Arsene had his doubts.
Have you ever spoke to him about that?
Of course he had his doubt, because I wasn't the finished product. I wasn't the top player yet. I knew that, but I wanted to become one. But Steve saw the potential.
Yeah.
And Steve convinced Arsène to give me a chance. And so I owe all to Steve. You know, Steve, he really believed in me at a time where not many people believed in me.
Yeah.
And I believed in myself. And Steve did. And my people around me believed in me.
Yeah.
But most people were not convinced.
Well, listen, so you go to Wenger, but that jump from final to that Arsenal team of 2004, and you walk into the dressing room, Dennis Bergkamp must have been one of your heroes.
Yes.
Thierry.
Yeah.
Patrick was still there.
Yeah.
One of the great teams of English football. How was that for a young Robin van Persie walking into that dressing room?
Yeah, it was. It sort of opened a new world for me in many ways. Mm-hmm. And one of them was what gave me what made me sort of relax is that I had a chat with Arsène, and we both agreed that I wasn't a top player yet. But I said, okay, but I want to become one. He said the first one and a half year, every minute you play in the first team is an extra minute. Just look at it that way. Take it easy. There's no rush. Learn from Dennis, learn from Henry, learn from Perez, learn from Ljungberg, and just be open-minded about it. He said, I will not judge you the first 1.5 years.
Yeah.
He said, and that gave me a lot of peace. Because nowadays, if you look at players coming in, they get 3 games and then they're out. So it was a different time as well. And in terms of how you manage a young talent, Arsène was great in that way. And young talents mess up, you know, they make mistakes, maybe more than mature and older players. But he always gave me, on crucial moments later as well, gave me confidence and gave me another chance. So I owe him a lot in that way. But what opened my mind as well is the way the older players, experienced players, who had all the right to maybe feel that they were better or act that they were better, because they were better, but they didn't. They did the opposite in terms of how they dealt with me, how they were speaking, how they were behaving. That opened the world for me, because at Feyenoord, I had a different experience with all the players.
Right.
And now I was talking and chatting to Vieira, for example, who is like the most natural leader I've ever experienced.
Really? Okay.
Because I've come across so many leaders, and every leader has his own style, but Patrick's way of leading was so natural. It was in such a nice way towards the whole team. But especially towards the younger guys. It's like he had a very soft voice, but when he was speaking, everyone listened to him.
Yeah.
And if you talk about giving confidence to younger players, I think, you know, he was amazing in that way. And he was very open-minded as well. With my first Premier League game after a couple of months in, away at Portsmouth, because your question was, how do you come into a team like that, the Invincibles, with all these great players?
Yeah.
Wow, I knew that I wasn't yet. So I had my first game against Portsmouth, and then I was so nervous. I was like almost shaking. I was like, oh, this has to be the moment. I need to do right. You know that feeling where you get your chance and then you want to take it so badly. And then I was like training for a couple of months. I was working very hard and doing so well in training. And my game in my mind was the session before the actual game, when I was in the reserves teams. That was my game. That's why I wanted to make the difference. That's why I wanted to show my colleagues and my coach, Arsène, that he should pick me in his last 18. So that was going well. So I got my chance, Portsmouth away. And then Patrick Vieira came to me and he said, "Hey, Robin, how are you doing?" I said, "Yeah, I said, I'm okay." Well, of course, I wasn't. And then he said, "Listen, Robin," he said, "just play like you train."
Yeah.
He said, "If you do that, you will play a great game."
Yeah.
He said, "And besides all of that, you have me because I play behind you." He was as a six.
Yeah.
I started as a number 10. And he said, "Every ball you lose, I'm there to pick it up and give it back to you."
That's good reassurance there.
So I was like, wow. I grew like 2 meters. I felt so good. It gave me such a good feeling. You know, if a guy like Vieira says that to you on your first Premier League game, on your debut, really. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, and that for me was like, okay, I come into a world with champions, but they're good guys, you know, they're open because they saw as well that I was open. I was ready to learn and I knew my place. You know, I was like proud to sit on the bench for Bergkamp. You know, I wasn't thinking that I should be playing in front of him. No way. There was like no way in my mind, like I'm here and I'm able to watch the master play.
Yeah.
And it was for me, it was the first 2 years where I learned so unbelievably much.
BT Sport Pods. If you're thinking for the ideal like internship, scholarship of football.
That was it.
For you, watching Dennis Bergkamp week in, week out, day in, day out.
Yeah, but not only Dennis. It was the way Perez played, for example. The choices he made on the ball, formless combinations.
Mm.
Then I saw Thierry with his runs and his movement. And I saw Ljungberg with cutting from the outside, cutting in, making the
timing of the runs.
The timing of the runs, making the runs in behind. Then you had Vieira. Mm. So I was, every day I was getting a masterclass of how top football should be played. Mm. And in that period, it's very important that you know your place as a youngster. And I knew that I was a student of the game.
Can I just say, because during that time at Arsenal, there was lots of other good young players. Why do you think a lot, because it was only really yourself that developed, like, why didn't anyone come through? Did they not have that same mindset, do you think, or was it?
I do believe so. Some other talents who were very good as well, they had a different mindset than me. I was more patient and I was more humble in a way, okay, you know, this is the absolute top level.
Yeah.
And I just realized I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I just realized, like, I really want to go there. I really want to become one of the top players. Yeah. But I need to make so many steps before I'm at that level. And I was just happy that I was in an environment where I had the best of every position in that way. And I started to learn from Perez how he passed players from combination football. I learned from Ljungberg how he passed players from just making a very clever run. And I learned from Dennis to look, like to scan and to always be in front, because Dennis wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the fastest either, but he was always on time. And then in that same time as me, and that is maybe a big reason why Cesc Fabregas had a great career as well.
Yeah.
He knew his place as well. He realized, like me, that we were students of the game.
Yeah.
And that we were in in that period the best time and the best place to learn that.
Yeah.
And Cesc knew that as well, and he realized that. And that's why he had a fantastic career as well. But I've seen over the years a couple of other guys who were impatient, who didn't know their place, who didn't realize how lucky they were. They went on to make different choices.
Yeah.
And didn't, in most cases, didn't end up very well.
It's a great message for young players listening to that. You know, play like you mentioned yourself and Cesc, two of the giants of the game. But at a young age, they knew that that period was their time to learn and take any of your information. Yeah. You had great moments, though, in the first 4 years at Arsenal. And Arsenal clearly trusted you. You took a penalty in the 2005 FA Cup final.
That was my first year, at the end of my first
Incredible. That must have given you massive confidence.
It was one of my scariest moments of my career.
Yeah.
Because I never took a penalty in my life before.
Wow.
Not even as a youth player.
Wow.
Never.
Did Arsene know that when he selected you?
It's a funny story. We played against Manchester United.
Yeah.
They were so much better in that game.
Yeah, I remember
that game. Remember that game? Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I came on as a sub in extra time, played a half an hour, and we were so lucky to even make the shootout. But we were there, and then Petr Vieira was his last kickoff at Arsenal. Of course, he took it. In the end. But then Edu, he knew that he was about to leave as well. And he got a little bit scared. And he was the third penalty taker. So he was like, yeah, okay, I will take it. And then a couple of seconds later, he's like, Arsene, I don't feel good. It's my last kick. I don't want to mess it up. And then Arsene said, okay, no problem. Who wants to take it?
Yeah.
And I was like, me.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I did that, I was like, you know what? One of them. I was like, oh, no. And then he said, okay, you take it. And then the first was in, and the second arrived. And then it was my turn.
Yeah.
And then on the walk at Cardiff, because I was played at Cardiff, towards the ball, I thought, you know, I'm going to do a like, confidence chip up. I'm going to do a keepy uppy.
Yeah.
It went wrong. You know? I wanted to just the easy one, click, click, and then in my hand. But it went click, click, and it went the other way. I went after the ball. And I was like, okay, this is not going as planned. And then I had to walk like 40 meters.
Yeah.
And I put that ball down, and I just saw black in front of me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, focus on the ball. I was so tensed, you know. I wanted to do well. And then I was like, okay, choose your corner, focus on the ball, focus on your standing leg, and forget about the keeper, forget about everything else. Just those three things need to be right. Yeah, yeah. And I did that, and it went in very nice.
Relief.
And then it went in the back of the net, and I was like, okay.
So you had your start, your learning. What was the moment in your mind when you thought yourself, I've arrived. Thierry Henry left in 2007.
Yeah.
When you felt, was there a conversation with Arsene? Was it just a goal or something? What was it? We associate you with great goals. In any case, the Charlton goal. But was it? What was the moment where you thought, I'm the main man here?
I didn't realize it until quite late, really, because I've never been a goal scorer up until that moment. I actually. Like a nice long shot which hits the crossbar and goes out. I could really enjoy that.
Yeah, that's the artist in you, that is.
So I wasn't really thinking of. So I was in that process of becoming a goal scorer.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there yet, and I scored about 10, 13, 14 goals a season. Yeah. I was happy with that. I was more looking at my assists than my goals.
Yeah.
And then Arsene didn't buy after Adebayor left to City. He didn't buy any striker. I said, I think you should. I think you should buy a striker. He said, yeah, but I have my striker already. And then he said, that's you. He said, you are my striker. And a bit before that, like you mentioned, Thierry left, and we had a chat as well. And then he mentioned that. That is now my time to become a striker. And I was like, to Thierry, because he went on to play at Barcelona. And I was like, I'm not convinced that I'm a striker. I don't see myself as that. And then Jerry said, no, I think you are.
Really?
But you just don't know it yet.
Wow.
He said, find out for yourself if it makes you happy.
Yeah.
So that was the first conversation. And then a little bit later with Arsène. And then I was like, okay, I will try. I will try and play there. Mm. And previously to that, a couple of months before that, I played two games with the national team as a striker. And Arsène saw those two games. Mm. And he said, I think you can do it. I think you have it in you. And I was like, okay, I have to change my way of looking at football. Mm. I have to change my style of playing. It's so different if you compare it to number 10 position or striker position. So I said, okay, I will give it a go in preseason and see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, please buy another striker because we need to be ready for that. And then he said, okay, no problem. He didn't buy a new striker. I had a good preseason. And then basically a whole new chapter, a whole new way of approaching and thinking about football arrived for me. I was almost straight away seeing things differently. I didn't enjoy shots going over through the crossbar anymore. I just wanted to score goals. Yeah. And that change of mindset was in a very short period of time.
Yeah. So, you know, I go back because that's an interesting era for Arsenal because you've left Highbury, you've gone to the Emirates, great stadium. It's the big leaders you talked about, the Vieiras, the Henrys, they slowly coming out the door. You're becoming a leader. Cesc's becoming a leader.
Yep.
And it was a spell where you become one of the top players in the league. Arsenal become one of the best teams to watch in the league without you know, putting the silverware that sometimes the football was beautiful. Yeah. But I mean, looking back, maybe with your coaches, how, you know, your great players like Sami Nasri come through the door, Chleb, Rosicky, Arshab, very similar, all number 10s. Do you feel the balance of the team just wasn't, the ingredients weren't right to win trophies? Or?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because we played with four or five number 10s in our team. And that brings very nice football to watch. You know, we had amazing skills together. We were always passing the ball to each other. We had great movement without the ball. But it was very much central. Mm. You know, it was like everyone was playing towards the middle and we could handle that. But in some games, you need depth, you need runs, you need powerful football, like Chelsea, like in the team you played in.
Yeah.
Those guys were like, in some games, you can't play beautiful.
Yeah.
You have to just make the runs and be tough and win those games in a different style of playing. We had one style.
Yeah.
If you look at me if you ask me now, in which team did I enjoyed playing football the most, if in terms of the love of football, where you can really, really, really enjoy yourself on the pitch, that was that team.
Yeah.
We played so much, so nice football, you know. Everyone was passing the ball to each other. We had, like you said, we had in the midfield, later on we had Song, we had Fabregas, we had Chleb, Nasri. Mm. I was a little bit higher up the pitch, Rosicky. That was fun to play.
Mm.
It was so much fun. But like you said, you know, you want to combine that with winning trophies. Mm. And although we came close a couple of times in the Carling Cup finals, we lost. And Champions League final, but that was early doors.
Yeah.
A couple of semi-finals, you know. And that was such a shame because we played so good football. Yeah.
It was one of, like, I remember playing against the Arsenal team and we at Chelsea, we always felt...
What was your way of thinking about us?
All right, so we would prepare for you. Like, we always knew we had Didier and we gave a nightmare to whoever was playing at the back, whoever it was, Didier had always best games against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And we always felt if we could get through the first 25, 30 minutes and block the middle of the pitch, we always knew... Mm-hmm. There will be a chance. And we always felt, you know, and we always felt that that we could sort of niggle you a little bit, you know. and get, you know, and maybe a silly red card or someone do something, make them, we always thought if we could stay in the game for the first 30 minutes, we could. That was our mindset going in. We really respected you. Like, we're footballer. I could see the great players. And, you know, that team, like, you, a player like me, I'd have loved to have played with them players, because the way you played. But ultimately, I think Didier was the difference. I think that part of the pitch was why that Chelsea team was so successful, because we had the luxury of being able to not play great football and win a game. I don't feel like that Arsenal team, you didn't win enough games where you didn't play well. We could, I think, because Didier could just bosh.
And you could, defensively, you had guys like Terry at the back.
Cavallio, Gallas.
Yeah, Cavallio, Gallas. And then you had in midfield, you had at one stage, Essien.
Makalele, incredible. We had a powerful Lampard, team. Powerful team.
So you could close the door as well.
Yeah.
So it was, for us, it was really difficult to break you guys, you know, in terms of really hurting you to score goals. It was always such a difficult game.
Yeah. No, they were great games. And like you said, like you ended up 37 goals in all competitions, 2011, 2012. And it all culminated. What moment did you think to yourself, because it was one of the most controversial transfers. I remember your transfer to Manchester United thinking, wow, how has Alex Ferguson pulled that off? That is incredible. Was there any moment when you thought to yourself, Robin, where you thought, I want to win trophies and I need, was there a moment or was there a conversation? Or something?
Many with Arsene, with Ivan, Casillas, with colleagues, with players. Yeah. Arteta, he was the vice captain in the team, and he was a starter. He was a character already with his own opinion. And then so many chats before that, and you know, it's like I was going into my last year, and I was almost 29, if I'm correct. So that's the moment I have to make a decision, but the club as well. And it really was the combination, because. Like I mentioned as well with Jake in the interview, is that, you know, you start to ask each other questions. How do you see the near future? And then Ivan came with the numbers and with the longer term future and all that stuff. I said, but park that. I said, I'm 29.
Yeah.
I want to win now.
Yeah. You
know? I said, I had a great time and I'm thankful for all those years I had here. I said, and I'm open to stay, but on what terms? Which players are coming? I had like a list of 7 questions, and I said, how do you look at all these topics, you know? And one of them was a new contract, which they never offered.
Really?
So in a way, that is a sign as well.
Why do you think they didn't offer it? Like, he was clearly one of the top players.
Because I was the... I think we became third in that year, top scorer of the league, player of the league, player of the year. Yeah. So I had a very good season then. But I said, okay, you know, I'm really happy with that. But I want to really challenge, you know. Yeah. The only thing I want to challenge for the first spot.
Yeah.
And if you win it in the end, okay. But we didn't really challenge for the first place for too long now. So I said, what are the plans? You know, I said, I want concrete answers to what are the plans was for the near future, not the long-term future. Because, I'm not bothered about numbers and all that stuff. Yeah. I just want to play with the best team possible. And then when that contract offer didn't arrive, I said, okay, I have a couple of offers here from other teams. They're all 4 years. I said, what about if you give me 3 years, but then with a clear story of how we're going to do it in the next 3 years?
Yeah.
And then I at this point, of in my opinion, and that came from a good heart, you know, I was like just thinking along with Arsenal. And then they said, we don't agree on those points, and it is best if you leave. Okay. Then I have 1 year left. Then it's still a lot, time as well, and a lot of things should happen before you make a transfer. I was actually very close to Juventus,
okay,
but that deal didn't come through. So it was all looking that I was going towards Juventus.
Yeah.
But in the end, Arsenal asked too much transfer fee. So I told Ivan as well. I said, Ivan, I said, listen, at this stage, I said, there are three teams really serious. I said, that is Juventus. I said, that is City and United. And this was quite early in the window still. So I told Ivan, I said, lower your fee.
Yeah.
I go to Juventus. Everyone is happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kept asking, way too much.
Yeah.
I had 10 months left or 11 months left on my contract. I said, come on. I said, but the consequence is that there are two teams left.
Yeah.
I said, and I know which one I like to go out of those two teams.
Yeah.
And that was in my mind already, that was Man United.
Yeah.
City was never really an option, although we had contact. And City is a very good club, especially nowadays. It's a joy to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But back in the day, it was like the start of the project.
On the way up, wasn't it?
And so I said, okay, then this is the consequence, you know, if you keep saying no to Juventus. And that is what happened. Do I hold a bad feeling? No.
Yeah.
No, it is how it goes, you know, that there's a time of coming, there's a time of going.
Mm.
And I still have a very, very good feeling towards Arsène, towards Steve, like you said, who gave me the chance. Towards my time at Arsenal, I arrived as a little boy. Eager to learn as a young talent who wasn't the top player I was in my opinion when I left the club. But I'm so thankful, you know, my kids are born in London, my kids grew up there. Overall, okay, I won in those 8 years two trophies, which is not enough for a club at Arsenal, which is not enough for me. But sometimes it's not only about winning or a trophy or holding the silverware up, because I did experience that later on as well. That journey on itself for me is like, you know, it meant and it means so much to me.
BT Sport Pods. You could stand shoulder to shoulder with all of the great players at Arsenal, that's for sure. You made the decision to go to Manchester United. I'm going to embarrass you now. We're talking about you only last week with Rio. And we asked him a question. We said, what player come into Manchester United? Or in your whole career that you come in and the level lifted around him and he surprised you. And he said, he said, I played against him. I knew he was a top player. He said, but you don't realise he's one of them players. And this is, for me, this is the biggest compliment a footballer to another footballer, that you can... When you work with them day on day, you realise the quality. So you come in, and he said, and then Wayne felt like he had to lift his game, and all the great players around him. And he said, for sure, you wouldn't have won the trophies if Ferguson wouldn't have got you in. I said, I mean, that's as good a compliment as you can.
Yeah, definitely. And for me as well, it's like, you know, that feeling when I arrived at the Arsenal, that wow feeling, like, oh, wow, I didn't see this before. Oh, wow, he's making those and those decisions there and there. Oh, I can take bits and pieces there. Yeah. That's the feeling I got again when I arrived at Manchester United.
Yeah.
From playing against and with Rio Ferdinand and Vidic, which I always had really tough games against.
Yeah.
Because they were working so well together.
Yeah.
And then I saw Giggs and Scholes doing stuff in training where I was like, no way, I'm almost 30 years old. But these guys are making choices, doing stuff with the ball, which I haven't seen in almost 8 years.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, I had that feeling again when I just arrived at Arsenal in a different way, older obviously. Yeah. And I was better, I was further physically, mentally. Mm. I was ready, I was ready there every day to work hard. And even in that team as well, again, I knew my place because they had their own group of players who were protecting the philosophy, protecting the intensity, protecting the team
culture.
The team culture, exactly. That's what I'm looking for. They had Carrick, they had Vidic, they had Ferdinand, Kixi, Scholesi, Rooney.
So
at Arsenal, towards the end of my last few years, I was one of these players.
You was driving the culture.
Yes, I was one of these players to get a bit Cesc, to get a bit Nasri later on.
Yeah.
But I knew at Manchester United that there was their culture existed already.
Mm.
And I respected that. And so I knew my place. And for me, it was actually easier than my last few years at Arsenal in terms of performing.
Yeah.
Because
the freed whole, you up.
Yeah, I was like, listen, I'm here to train well, to do well, to make the difference.
Yeah.
Every game. And, you know, Fergie, Sir Alex Ferguson, and the players, were every day, every game, they were really happy for me and helping me as well to achieve that, to be able for me to make the difference.
Yeah.
At one point, the coach, he said, because Kozi, Kagawa and Carrick against the game against Reading,
yeah,
I played bad, you know, in that game, and that was early in the season. And then he said, Robin had this quiet game so far in the halftime meeting. He said, and that's not his fault. It was my fault because I was playing bad. But he said that's the fault of Chinji, Carrick, and Gitsi. Yeah. You have to be able, you have to find a way to find him because he's making the runs, but you are not finding him.
Yeah.
And then so the players and the coach, that combination. Yeah. Did absolutely everything to make me succeed as well, to make the difference. You know?
Yeah, that's really interesting because every player that goes into United, it gets wowed by in that era, gets wowed by the fact that how the culture was and how it was so much driven, and it was like that for 20 odd years.
Yeah.
You've scored many many great goals, but surely the goal against Aston Villa, I think that's one of the best goals I've seen. Is that one of your favourites?
Yeah. Because it was a very difficult angle, because it came almost over the top of me, which is very difficult to connect with the ball. The goal against Charlton Athletic with Arsenal, it came from the side.
Yes.
It's easier to connect, you know it for sure. And that goal, in terms of how difficult it was, that was maybe my most difficult volley to execute it.
That's a beautiful goal. Yeah. I mean, but what was that like when you... Great season, top goal scorer, you know, Player of the Year awards. But what was that? When you got your hands on a Premier League trophy, having been in, is it nearly a decade or over, and then you finally got your hands on the trophy. How was that feeling? A
fantastic feeling. Yeah. But I realised as well is that, you know, just like that whole year I was driven. Like every day, with every meal, every siesta, it was like just to win that trophy that whole year. And it's so strange, but when the moment happens, it's like you hold it up 5 seconds and you give it to the next one.
I know.
You know that. You know the drill.
Do you know what Rio said a funny story about? He said when he won his first league title, and he thought he was the business. He said he was going out in a nightclub. He was like he's ready. He said, and he see Paul Ince. He said, and he just gave him a little comment. Don't worry, son. I've got 5 of them or something like that.
Yeah.
He said, and then he realised, wow, I'm at Manchester United and this is expected.
That's the standard.
That's the standard, isn't it?
And that is what I liked as well, because that was my standard as well in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, this is like you should always compete every single year if you play at Manchester United. And then, like you said, you know, it's like that period because we were winning that league 4 games before the end of the season. So we were going out and then we go in the club and the whole club singing your name and stuff like that was happening. So it's a bit unreal, really. But then you realize like Gixi had 13 of them, Scorsese, similar, Rio, 5, 6. Then you want to push on, you know. Yeah. Then I was actually thinking about winning the Champions League or really competing at the Champions League because we went out during that season against Madrid and we could have done better there.
Yeah.
So that didn't really sit well. And so you think, okay, yes, now we go to the next step.
Yeah.
Now we go again. And then Fergie had that meeting, you know, where he told everyone that he was about to retire. And that was a big shock to everyone because no one knew.
No one knew. No, was it?
I didn't.
No.
And I don't think Rio knew.
Yeah.
No one knew.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, okay, big shock. Just because no one really saw that coming. Because before I signed, I did mention, like, what is your plan on staying?
Yeah.
for how long are you planning on staying? And he said, at least 3 years.
Yeah.
But something happened in his private life, which we have to respect, you know.
Yeah.
Family comes first.
Would that have changed your decision, do you think, if he would have said, I'm not sure?
Beforehand?
Mm.
Good question.
That's why I'm in this seat.
That's a good question.
That ain't on the script, by the way. Just that's one of my own.
No, but that's a very good question. Ooh. Because in my mind, before I signed, of course you sign for the club, for the stadium, for the players, but definitely the coach as well. Ooh, tricky one. I don't know, because the 3 years in my mind was like, okay, so we have the time. If it doesn't happen in the first, we can go for the second year. But then suddenly that stops, you know, and then everyone had a reality check. And for me, I was working 1 year with him. Can you imagine Giggs, he scores, these guys, it was even worse.
Incredible. Which is the David Moyes, you know, from the outside, my perspective was whoever came into that job, you could have had three of the greatest managers of all time into that job. But to follow Ferguson must have been so tough. What was it like when David come in trying to step into them shoes with them players? I mean,
like you said, because even after Moyes, we had a couple of the best managers around, and even they struggled.
Yeah.
So it was, it was almost the impossible job for anyone. I have to come in after Fergie with that team, with so many players who had won so much together. Mm. It was very difficult to for him. And, you know, if I look back at the way he filled it in, I don't think he made many mistakes, Moyes. He was good with us. He kept most of the guys happy. Mm. Sessions were good. Different style of training. But it was good. It was just for him. I think he lasted 11 months. It was tough on him. It was really tough. And I can imagine from his point of view that it hurt him, you know?
Yeah.
We could feel that as well. And at one point, I could feel a feeling inside the group as well that we wanted to do well for him, you know? And then we had games against Liverpool where we got beaten 3-0 at home.
Yeah.
So it didn't really go our way as well. We got three penalties against us in that game. Mm. So in those periods, we needed a bit more luck, you know?
Mm.
And we just didn't have that and ended up being seventh in the league. So,
yeah, I mean, see.
Like, so it was a difficult year.
It was tough, you know? And what's your thoughts on Manchester United now? You know, because how far are we now? We're over a decade since then. And still not got back to the top. Do you think it's coming soon? I mean, or is it?
The signs are good.
There's positive signs now.
But you have to imagine if you go back to that year when Sir Alex left, Manchester United didn't have Facebook, social media, Twitter, because Sir Alex was like, no, this is a football club. Yeah. It should be about football.
Yeah.
The whole football world changed. The whole world in general changed.
Yeah.
So the moment he stopped, it's like they were straight away going hard on sponsors and they were really pushing it with Facebook and social media and like many other teams.
Mm.
And because of that, they generated a lot of income as well. So they could buy players, they could give higher salaries, etc. So it was a normal move to make. But you could see that in that second year as well, is that there were so many changes off the pitch as well under Moyes.
Yeah.
Where for him, he was like, okay, you know, is this how it's always going? But it wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
So we had to deal with all the off-the-pitch stuff as well.
Yeah.
And then on the pitch. And, you know, for him, it was the impossible job. So it's like Manchester United, it's changed so much as well, if you compare it to the years where they were successful on the pitch.
Yeah.
And they had Louis van Gaal, Mourinho, Solskjaer. You know, and now we're about 8-9 years further down the road, and now you look at if you look at the games now this season, and of course they had a tough start, but you can see this is going somewhere. You can see that they're playing from a philosophy. You can see that they're playing for each other, with each other, together. And, that was the fundament as well of playing under Sir Alex. It's like you have to run more than the opponent. That's like a basic rule.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who the opponent is, you have to outrun them.
Yeah.
And you have to do it together. And that feeling is coming back now. If I look at it from the outside, that shows me that Erik ten Hag is a good manager, because only a good manager can sort of bring that togetherness, bring that intensity to a team.
Yeah, you're starting to see stamp on the team.
Yeah.
You know, so there is positive signs for Manchester United fans. Yeah. And Manchester United fans remember you fondly. You know, you had three great years there.
Yeah.
But we can't leave without talking to you about your international career, because your generation, Schneiders, Van der Vaart, yourself, Arjen Robben, what a team. What a great team. Similar to our generation with England, with Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes, all coming through together. You was all similar ages.
Yeah.
You know, culminating in, how close was you in 2010 must have been?
Yeah, second in the World Cup.
Incredible achievement. And if I remember rightly watching that game, did Arjen have the one-on-one with Casillas?
Yes, twice.
Twice.
Yeah, his little toe.
Yeah, his little
prevented
toe.
That 1-0.
Yeah. Was that the best team, the 2010 team that you played in?
Yeah.
You made your debut in 2005.
Yeah.
And you played right up until 2015?
Almost. So
was that the
11
peak
years,
for that team, 2010?
Yeah, but it was, if you... The way we played, it was very simple in a way. Mm-hmm. We had a block of four. We had Mark van Bommel and Nigel de Jong sitting in front as two number sixes.
Mm.
And then the four of us, Robben, Van der Vaart, me, Schneider, most of the time.
What a team, mate. What a
we
team.
We could change positions and we could do what we wanted as long as all the other positions were filled in.
Yeah.
And so always in rest defense, we always had a block of six. And the block of six, plus maybe one of us or two of us who helped a little bit, managed defensively. Mm. And in that team as well, it was everyone knew their position in the team. And we did play, although we were not all friends of each other.
Really?
We all knew our positions in the team and we knew our qualities. And as I do still believe that there was more in the locker.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of quality and playing together.
Oh, without doubt.
But if you look at those players, we did well with that team.
Yeah.
We did well, but I think we could have give like an extra 10-15% more.
Yeah. Why do you think that someone myself who admires the way that the Dutch teams play, you know, I've been a big fan of all the great players, yourself, Dennis Bergkamp, Marco van Basten, Ruud Gullit, you know, why do you think, first of all, for the size of the country, you do so well.
Yeah, definitely.
But when you name them four players, and I'm look just them four players alone, I'm like, that's a team that should have won a tournament. And we're guilty of it in England, in our generation, with the players we had of not underperforming.
Fantastic players as well.
So what was the problem? Not a problem, because you was like we said, it was a whisker away from the book. Why do you think it was? Was it a friendship or a team bonding effort? What was it?
Yeah, maybe it's like because everyone had his own career as well at his club, you know, and depending on how that was going, you constantly arrive with a different feeling at the national team.
Yeah.
But you know,
was there competition between?
There was
you?
Competition.
Yeah.
Between us, and that's not really bad.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if you really share and if you really give because you want to give and if you really share the penalties, for example, that was or share the free kicks and everyone will shine, you know. And that was not always the case.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
And if that should have been the case, then we would have that extra 10-15%. Yeah.
Sport pods. What would Robin van Persie, the coach, if you could go back in time and coach that team with them players, how would you deal with yourself, Arjen,
Yeah, I have experienced a similar situation where two of my best players were not passing the ball towards each other enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. Okay. So I put them together, and then I'm very direct. I said, listen, you are now playing alone. And you are handling yourself really well because you're really good players. And these guys are 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
I said, and you win most games playing by yourself.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you do it together?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you share that?
Yeah.
Because you're better and stronger together.
Yeah.
I said, so I want you to look for each other more. Yeah. I said, I'm counting the balls which you're passing it to each other.
Yeah.
And just trying to influence that they play more together and that, and I have an influence as a coach of sharing the penalties. I said, so I'm not leaving it to them. I said, no.
Yeah.
I said, penalties for you. The free kicks are for you.
Yeah.
The corners here. So I'm sharing all the areas that they all have a feeling, even when they have a difficult day, that they can still score from a free kick, that they can still score from a penalty.
Yeah.
And if I notice that we get more penalties, then I will swap that over. Mm. So it's like constantly trying to find that right balance between them, trying to find that right feeling. But my best players should get that satisfaction or feeling.
Yeah.
But they really get it if they're doing it together. Mm. And that is where, in my opinion, we could have done better.
Yeah. Who was the managers during that time? Did they not try that?
He tried everything.
Did they?
Bet for my back. He did so well. He tried everything.
Yeah.
But then it really matters in the big games. You know, in the smaller games, it's easy to find each other.
It sounds like England and Holland had the same problem.
And it's not that it was bad, but it wasn't great either.
Yes, that's exactly it. There was nothing I could go, oh, he hates him, he don't speak to him.
No,
it's just not. There was the rivalry and between the players might have been a bit too intense.
And it could have been great, you know, in my opinion, because we were all very good footballers. But that's difficult because, you know, it's like everyone comes in his own spirit to the national team. You have your own life. You have your own position at your team. And then you have to find your own position at the national team.
I
do believe it's in every national team the case. But as a coach, you know, even with the kids now, you know, I have a really good eye for that. Like, okay, what is happening now? Where are they going?
Yeah.
Because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know,
I've walked in their shoes, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think it's a big plus. Because I've experienced most of those situations. And this is what I told the guys after 2 weeks in preseason. My two best players. I said, ooh, because I could see where this was happening, where this was going. So
you saw it early and dealt with it.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about how much you've admired Dennis Bergkamp, you know, Marco van Basten, but you finished as Holland's top goal scorer. I mean, you must sit at home sometimes and think, wow, what an achievement that is. Because it's not a small country. You're one of the big countries in world football.
Yeah. Yeah, it was never on my mind for the first 50 caps.
For someone who didn't see themselves as a striker at the start, you know?
Because the first 40, 50 caps, I played as a left winger, right winger, number 10.
Yeah.
So I didn't score many goals.
Yeah.
It was only when I made that swap towards a striker. Because the moment Van Basten tried it on with me in 2007 or 2008, that was the moment. A couple of months later, I started playing as a main striker as well at Arsenal. Mm. And then it just stayed like that with the national team as well. So then I started to score more goals. And it was like a completely different mindset, different player. I was looking at football different from that moment. I was just busy with okay, how could players around me have the best influence on me, and I was constantly talking about my runs.
Yeah,
I was learning as well from Thierry Henry, from players with their movement, looking at videos. Although Thierry was gone by then, he was playing in Barcelona. I was constantly trying to improve myself as a striker because I was just like a fresh new striker. Yeah. You know? So I had to do it really fast because I was playing at Arsenal, playing with the national team, and everyone at one moment expected goals from me.
Yeah.
So I was like in a quick study, like, okay, how do I achieve that?
Yeah.
So my whole way of thinking changed, and so basically how that started is that I sort of broke down in terms of, okay, what type of player am I? Am I fast? Am I slow? I was a bit, in my opinion, in the middle. So I need to create space. I need to create extra second.
Yeah.
Because if it's just like a point blank sprint, I will lose it against most of the defenders. So what do I do then? So I was just asking all those questions, like, okay, I have to make more dummy runs. I have to find the space. I have to start earlier. When do I start? In combination of when the pass arrives, etc. So I really saw it as a new study of how to be the best version of myself as a striker. And then I didn't really enjoy it as much anymore when I hit the crossbar and it went out. It didn't really matter for me how I scored, as long as I scored.
Yeah, incredible. I'm incredible for some that stage in your career to continue to learn. It's a great example. Again, I mean, you had a great time in Fenerbahce, but your career has been that beautiful story where you end up going back to where you started. Was that an emotional thing for you to go back to Feyenoord and finish your career there?
Yeah, it wasn't part of the plan personally.
You're right.
Because I had the option to go to Galaxy, to Dubai.
Mm.
I was actually more leaning towards that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, so you can combine a nice life in a different place.
Yeah.
And then play a bit of football.
Yeah.
I was coming towards like 33 years old. After my Fenerbahce years, I was 34 actually.
Yeah.
So, okay, what to do then? You know, and then I was like, you know, my wife and my kids, they've obviously always followed me wherever I went.
Mm.
And then I was like, okay, now is the time to ask them as well, like properly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
How do you feel about this? Because it was all about my dreams and my.
Yeah.
My goals and targets, and I said, but so we sat together, and I was like, "What do you guys want?" You know, and that was confronting because I had my mind more leaning towards a new adventure. You know, that was how I saw it. But my wife, after almost 14 years abroad, she was like, "Yeah, I actually like to go back home."
Mm.
To Holland. I said, really? I said, to Holland? Because that was never really part of the plans. He's like, yeah. You know, my parents are getting older. Your parents are getting older. Like, you know, so we sort of put everything in boxes. And I was like, okay, Shaquille, he was 12, about 12 years old. Crucial time. He had six schools already.
Yeah.
So he's 12 years old. He had six schools. Dina, 3 years younger, 9. She had four schools. So we were like, wow, you know, okay. In a way, that's good because they're able to make new friends very soon.
Yeah.
But they need stability as well one point.
Yeah.
And then Shaquille was quite good at golf and quite good at tennis. And I said, well, you can play golf in America or you can play golf in Dubai or tennis. He said, yeah. He said, but I see it as my hobby. He said, my passion is football. And if we go to Galaxy or Dubai, the level is not good enough for me to improve. You had your chance when you were young.
Wow.
At Feyenoord.
He said that.
Yeah. He confronted me.
Yeah.
Hard. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, okay. And then I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough. I said, you know what? I said, I come back. Let's fix it with Fenerbahce and I come back. And so it was a combination of me wanting to finish as a footballer in honor.
Yeah.
But I was more leaning towards, you know, my kids and my wife and family and coming home. So that was the combination.
So beautiful end to your football career at home, and you've taken your first steps into coaching. What's the ambitions for you?
In the near future, I just finished my UEFA A course.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do the pro license.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I will start doing it from next year's June. And that gives me that freedom of being a coach on any level. Now I can coach all teams until the under 21. And for me, the most important thing is that it gives me energy. It you know, it I really like to be a coach of a youth team now. This is my second year with the final under 16s. Two different teams now. Yeah. Last year I coached the team where my son was involved in as well. He went on to the under 17s. I still do the 16s. And for me there was a test as well, because you know, how do I like it if I'm like without my son? You know, and I really do like it, and I really do like coaching these kids, talented kids. I like to work at the highest possible level. Yeah. But I don't have a clear picture in my mind where I say, okay, within 5 years I want to be the head coach of this and that team. I just love giving training sessions. I love all the tactical way of playing on game day. I love to find solutions for tactical problems of the opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like it. I like it. And yeah, you know, hopefully I can do the pro soon, and then we see it from there. You know, I like this role. I like to have a positive influence on talented kids' their future. And in my opinion, this is being the coach of the under 16s and under 18s next year is, I think, as a coach, the best way of learning the job more than being an assistant coach at any first team, in my opinion, because you prepare yourself in a different way. Now I'm preparing myself as a head coach.
Yeah.
And there's so many things coming on my way. You have to stay in contact with the parents. You have to check how they're doing it at school. You have the whole performance side of it. Technical, the way they behave. There's so many things on your plate daily.
Yeah.
That I think that at this age, on the 18s, or maybe a little bit later, on the 21s, is that this is the best way for me to prepare as a head coach in a couple of years.
Well, it sounds to me like your coaching career is following the path of your football career. Like, this is, you've just signed for Arsenal, you're learning from the greats, and the future's open to anything
exactly
possible.
And I'm a starting coach. And I know that, you know, I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
I learn very fast, and I have my own ideal way of playing with my team. But there are many bumps on the road, you know. There are many, it depends on many things. It depends on the quality of your own players. If my ideal way of playing is really a reality, it depends of the opponent, depends of how good they are, it depends of how they play tactically.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of ifs, you know, and I have a clear way of how I want to play, but you have to adjust, like constantly. You have to adjust here and there, depending for like a little sample. I love to build out from the back.
Yeah.
And I love to do that with three at the back, two center backs and one midfielder. So that gives me the square with four midfielders and three strikers. So two wingers and one striker.
Yeah,
I love that idea. But what do you do when you don't have the players who can build out from the back in three?
Yeah.
Then you have to be creative. Then you have to maybe change position. Then you have to maybe change the system.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like, you know, I like to constantly think about, okay, if you take everything in, what is the best way of playing with this certain team, with all the pros and cons, and that gives me energy, and I like to do that.
Well, it sounds like you're loving life. Robin, with each of our guests, we do a quick fire, five questions. If you could play alongside any striker, past or present, who would you choose to partner you?
Michael van Basten.
Yeah? That would be dangerous then too. My goodness. Biggest regret of your career?
If I look back at it, I would love to have that mindset I had at Arsenal earlier.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Even at an earlier age, at 14, 15, with that mindset, I would be better sooner.
Mm. What's your favourite goal you've ever scored?
The header against Spain.
Oh,
with the national team.
I forgot about that one. Iconic goal. Iconic. If you could go back and relive one game of your career, which game would you choose?
The World Cup final.
And you'd be the one going through one-on-one with the keeper.
Yeah, we lost that that game in the 116th minute at the time. And yeah, that's, you can lose games, but we had the better chances in that game. Spain was the better side, but we still managed to have the better chances. Mm. It's harsh if you lose a World Cup final, which you probably play once in your life, so late. Yeah. So I would love to play that game over.
Or come back and do it as a manager one day. Who knows?
Yeah, good one, yeah.
Which defender gave you the toughest time?
Two, but that was a duo. That was Ferdinand and Vidic together.
Yeah.
Because they really worked as a unit.
Yeah.
And against Chelsea was John Terry.
Yes.
He was so clever.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Ruthless at the right time.
Yeah.
And tactically very strong at a certain time as well. It's like with him, I never knew if he would really come in from the back.
Yeah.
And play a hard duo.
Yeah.
Or sometimes when I flicked it and he was just waiting 10 meters long. And
he was
a very clever defender.
Yeah, yeah, clever.
Yeah, he was hard, but not nasty.
Yes, yeah, no, he's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough man, but fair.
Yes.
If you could go on to manage any club in the world, who would that be?
Yeah, as a kid, I grew up with Feyenoord.
Mm.
So I would love one day to manage Feyenoord.
Yeah, don't say that too loud, mate. You're scared of manager in charge.
No, you know.
He knows.
Because I'm working with him once a week and he knows I'm not dangerous.
Yeah.
The opposite, quite the opposite.
So Robin van Persie, footballing legend and fantastic husband and father. I think that's a perfect way to end this interview. It's been a privilege, mate. It's been a privilege watching you play. And
well, likewise.
You know, and it's going to be interesting watching your next move into coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Top man.
You're welcome.
Absolutely
thank
brilliant.
You.
BT Sport Pods.